What advice would you give to those who feel uncertain about using the right words or pronouns?
One of the things that unites us all is that every employee within the company signs a document. This document is called the Social Standards, where we believe that there is zero tolerance against any form of discrimination.
So my advice is acknowledge you don't know it and ask, because usually that really facilitates an easier channel of communication.
Fritz for Future, Henkel's sustainability podcast.
Today we are talking about a powerful grassroots movement within companies that foster diversity, equity and inclusion. Surprisingly, many people, including myself, are not familiar with them, even though they play a crucial role in shaping corporate culture and making workplaces more inclusive. We are talking about employee resource groups, or ERGs. ERGs bring together employees who share common backgrounds, interests, or identities, providing support, advocacy, and networking opportunities. They are driving force for positive change in corporate environments and beyond. To help us understand how ERGs work and what impact they have, I have two fantastic guests with me today. A warm welcome to Luis Valadez. He is Senior Brand Manager for Got2B and leader of Henkel's ERG for the LGBTQ plus community. It's called Global Pride. And joining us as well is James Cumming. His nickname is Jim, and he is Senior Patent Counsel at Henkel, who is actively engaged in ERG initiatives. He is currently on an expert assignment in Germany and brings in both perspectives, how ERGs work in the countries and in our headquarters.
Nice to be here, Jenny. Thanks.
Thank you.
So great to have you here on the show. So, Luis, how would you describe what an ERG is and what role does it play in an organization?
Fact check.
I would describe an ERG as a community of employees bounded either through common values or interests or passions who cooperate in a way to drive organizational change and make their voices heard. So as cliche as it may sound, they exist through the people and also for the people.
Yeah, that's very important and a very important point. So, James, how common is it in the corporate world to have ERGs? So I've been a freelancer for 10 years now, and for me, it's the first time I'm hearing about them.
It is very common now. I would say about 5 years ago, there was a really big explosion in growth of employee resource groups. So about 2020, many companies started to bring in LGBT affiliated employee resource groups. And from there, it developed into further employee resource groups of many different dimensions, veterans, black employees, as well as Hispanics, Pan-Asian, multi-generational. And so today, in the Fortune 500 companies, about 90% of those companies have one or more ERGs in it. And of all the companies, including smaller companies, it's at about a 77% amount. Henkel has 58 employee resource groups all around the world. And so, yes, now it's very common.
Yeah, and that is really important and that is absolutely great. And Henkel has embedded ERGs within its broader diversity, equity and inclusion strategy. So some of our listeners might wonder, is this still necessary?
I think it is. I think absolutely it is necessary, because companies who have ERGs, the statistics are showing that it's about 39% increase in job satisfaction, which I think is very high. So more engaged employees, they're happier, they're more innovative. There's also this belief that there is better performance, job performance. These networks also create mini networks within a company, and they act as little think tanks, and they catalyze cultural change within a company very, very quickly. They help with sense of belonging. It helps people get out of silos. It helps fight against boredom within a company. And then also, I think also one of the very other important parts is that it amplifies recruitment and retention of many employees. So yes, I think it's absolutely necessary for employees or for companies to have this.
So Luis, you lead Global Pride, Henkel's ERG for the LGBTQ plus community. What are the key topics that matter most to the community, and how does the ERG work on them?
So I would say, especially in today's world, is about visibility and upskilling. So the LGBTQ plus community tends to be looked upon within Pride season, and then the priority and the attention lies in other groups, almost as if we would dim our lights. And I think that couldn't be further from the truth. So everyone stays proud all year long. And that's why it's important for us to stay visible, and also that the company gives you outlets to stay present. But we also acknowledge that not everyone is equipped with the right language or knowledge to address the LGBTQ plus community and the conversations that we need to have, which is why also upskilling is important for the ERG. So we acknowledge it's okay not to know everything. What we don't find okay is remaining in that state, which is why the door is always open for panel discussions, for anyone to join the monthly connects. There's videos that we prepare. So it's generally an open space for anyone who wishes to join and to engage with the community.
Yeah, to not know everything is okay. That is absolutely great to hear. We will discuss that later on. But let's talk about GUT2B first. So how does the brand actively support the community?
So the brand has been celebrated by the community for many years, and we've seen that mostly in social media. So our products are featured in mainstream drag competitions, in Get Ready With Me or Storytime posts, which is why for us it's key to ensure that we show the community that we also see them, that we appreciate their fandom and their bold styles, their brave self-expression, and that we stand next to them with all their colors. So we actively show up in Pride celebrations every year worldwide, and we work in our campaigns to make inclusive narratives where we challenge gender norms. We celebrate whoever everyone wants to be. And we also engage with the community, for instance, through our co-creator squad, where we also have members from the LGBTQ+. And they give us constant feedback on how we can improve ourselves. How can we become better brand allies? How can we do better? And we know we're still on a journey. We try to elevate representation in quality and in quantity as well. And we know there's much more we can do, more brand activism, donations to NGOs. But we're working on it, and we're quite excited for what the future brings for the brand.
James, for companies without an ERG, what are some easy first steps? What simple actions can organizations of any size take to ensure that LGBTQ plus community and others feel truly included and valued?
I think it's very simple. I think the first thing I would recommend is create a cultural ERG, or something that encourages many dimensions of people and allies to come together, and encourage the employees to share experiences. So I have found personally with the ERGs that I've worked with that, for example, reserving a table at a dining hall where everybody eats with is a good first step to encourage people coming together. Find the people within the company that are passionate about it, and then encourage them to take on small projects. Those projects can be simple things such as bringing a speaker in for International Women's Day, hosting a community service project. Talk to their bosses of those people who are very passionate about it. Try to create more space for them to encourage them to do this work during the work time. Try to provide them a budget that they can tap in to help facilitate many of these activities. Try to find an executive sponsor of the company who is also very passionate about this, so that there is buy-in from the top of the company, and then that also helps to align the direction of the ERG with the business purpose so that they're moving in similar patterns and similar steps. But overall, just keep trying things. Sometimes things do not work, but don't give up. Try again, try another approach. And at some point, I think when people see this, how much it's able to unlock cultural changes and the cultural powers within companies, it will happen. It will do it.
You said talk to your bosses, but is it that easy like it sounds? So sometimes maybe the boss is not open for a topic like that.
I agree. And if that doesn't work, perhaps consider talking with people within HR. They know the power of these ERGs, and then they could help network across to the different functions or business units that you may be a part of, and get the top leaders of the company also on board, and it could quietly nudge your boss to give you a little bit more space.
Very important tip. Thank you for that. So, Lewis, many people want to be inclusive, but are sometimes afraid of saying the wrong things, maybe. And to be honest, it's the same for me. So what advice would you give to those who feel uncertain about using the right words or pronouns?
So I would say those feelings of uncertainty are quite human. And I would say first, there's no shame to it. It's okay to acknowledge it. And as I said at the beginning, I rather find it more sad if people don't dare to speak up and to reach out, to ask out of fear of being politically incorrect. So my advice is acknowledge you don't know it and ask, because usually that really facilitates an easier channel of communication. And I personally have been through it. So I was actually reflecting for many years, how should I address someone with a darker skin tone, like a person from an African-American background or someone coming from Africa or from UK? And once I felt in a safe space with a colleague here to ask, how should I approach
and
you?
And what was the answer? Because it's important for many listeners, I think.
Yes. And what she told me is, you can refer to me as a black woman, because how do I look? How do you see me?
Yeah.
I am a black woman. It's not offensive to call me that way. And this gave me the safety and the reassurance to not feel uncomfortable when I would approach someone that way. Mm-hmm. So I think that's my advice, to ask. It's better to ask than to stay in doubt.
Yeah. Perfect tip at that point. So, James, Henkel is a global company, and we know that LGBTQ plus rights and acceptance vary widely across different countries. How does Henkel navigate these challenges while still supporting its employees worldwide?
That's a great question, because Henkel is in about 79 countries around the world. We have employees from about 125 different nations from the latest research that I've seen. But one of the things that unites us all is that every employee within the company signs a document. This document is called the Social Standards, where we believe that there is zero tolerance against any form of discrimination and harassment in the company. And we believe that equal treatment is one of the most important values of this company. So everyone signs an agreement saying that you will not discriminate against sexual orientation, gender identity, ethnicity, color, religion, political affiliation, and so forth. And that's how we work. We believe in that. Everybody, all the different regions have HR groups that also believe in this. And overall, in regions that I think it could be a little bit more problematic for LGBT employees, the underlining principle is protect the employee at all costs. Make sure that there is no harm that would be done to that employee, as well as these documents, to ensure that we believe that there should be zero discrimination and harassment against anyone, and that there should be fair treatment for all employees.
Yeah, that is very important to know, that Henkel handle it like this. So I have another question for both of you, I guess. So, what experience or maybe highlight moments from your involvement in the ERGs so far has left a really lasting impact on you? Who wants to start?
I can go first.
Yeah.
So to me, it was pretty much the coming out series that we did last year to contextualize everyone. So we did an open casting for anyone who wanted to share their personal coming out story. There was no clear brief. We wanted to make it very authentic to everyone's style, tone. And firstly, I was very positively impressed with the number of people that volunteered. I was maybe assuming some will be afraid or they don't want to share those type of personal stories. So it was very gratifying to see a lot of people wanting to share it, and even from across various regions. So we managed to get stories from Latin America, US, Europe. And then the outcome, so the array of testimonies was so diverse, with high stories, with low points, some quite sad, some like 180 degrees life change, a transition story as well, a gender transition story. So to me, it really did the purpose of showing that there's not one way of coming out, that maybe sometimes entertainment tends to romanticize it to make it very cute, but for some, it's quite a tough experience. So I think overall, if I look in hindsight, the project served a higher purpose. It was not only to show stories, but it educated, it upskilled, and it gave visibility to different coming out stories. So that was very inspiring.
Yeah, sounds amazing, really. James, what was your highlight moment?
Oh, so many highlights, but I think the best moments are bringing in the senior managers of Henkel all around the world into the Pride parades and getting them to see how big this LGBTQ plus community really is and why businesses really need to consider this group so much more in their business plans.
Louis, what are your next big plans for the near future in terms of ERG activities and initiatives?
So one big moment is Pride, as it is. So we are connecting with the different regions and markets to stay tuned on what is happening locally, what are their activities. And then also here in Düsseldorf, we are activating in person, getting together. I think there Jim has been a great driving force in getting us more engaged out of the virtual world and also in person. And then beyond this season, our focus lies really on allyship at leadership level. So getting more in contact with upper management to understand whether they have any questions and to start a conversation there where we can upskill if needed and then to have them engage more with the ERG.
Sounds really great. And James and Louis, maybe you can answer both for that last question. So hopefully, and I'm absolutely sure that a lot of our listeners are absolutely inspired now and maybe want to create their own ERG in their companies. So any words of advice you would like to give our listeners who are thinking of forming an ERG at their workplace? James, would you like to start?
I would say it just takes one employee raising their hand and asking senior management to do this. And if they're not aware of the benefits, do the research, prove it to them, show them why this is important, and keep advocating for it. It will happen.
That's great. So, Louis.
Yeah, I pretty much echo what Jim was saying. So I would say go for it. We are aware it's an on-top responsibility to your daily business, but it's also one of the most fun parts on a personal note of my job. It's also a great way to network with others who have common interests with you, common passions. And yeah, the voice of an ERG is louder than a single person. So I think that's great power for, as I said, driving organizational change. And it's a great way to do so. Go for it.
Go for it. Just do it. So perfect. It was such an inspiring talk with you. And it was very great to hear that if you are uncertain to talk about this topic, then only ask your questions, and that is the perfect way. So thank you both for sharing your insights and experiences with us today. It has been an inspiring and really eye-opening discussion, and I'm really looking forward to seeing your engagement in action. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And if you enjoyed this episode of Fritz for Future, make sure to subscribe on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to leave us a rating. Do you have topics or guest suggestions? Share your ideas in the reviews. We'd also love to hear your feedback. Send us an email at fritzforfuture@henkel.com. For more episodes and updates, visit henkel.com/podcast. Until next time, take care.
Fritz for Future, Henkel Sustainability Podcast.